children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Sweet.
about Jesus sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
I thank the Lord Jesus Christ for the honor of laboring with you. With the Spirit of God helping and with your teaching, I trust I can be of some service to God in your ministry.
Keep your mind open to truth. Learn to search the Scriptures to determine what is truth. Be sincere and truthful always, and your efforts will be blessed.
I'm very young, inexperienced, so if it's all right with you, I would like to ask you questions as we go along.
Well, one learns much more by listening than by talking.
The first question I'd like to ask, Paul, sir, is where are we going?
First, through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Then, wherever the Spirit directs.
This is a larger seaport than I had thought, and very busy.
It has a lengthy and interesting history back of it, too. Alexander the Great founded it. Since then, it has grown in size and importance until now, as you see, it is a sizable city with baths, a theater, an unusual aqueduct, and a temple. And as you say, a large and busy harbor.
Are we going to preach here?
Yes, unless the Holy Spirit directs us elsewhere.
Servant of God, please come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Come over into Macedonia and help us.
My dear co-workers, we're going to start for Macedonia today.
Macedonia? What gave you that inspiration?
The Holy Spirit, through a dream. A man of Macedonia stood and cried for help, so there must be many souls there to be won for Christ.
Mainsail is rigged, Captain!
Hold anchor away!
Macedonia is in Europe, isn't it?
The Lord has seen fit to open up the gospel work in Europe.
Well, soon it'll be in every country, worldwide.
By nightfall, they reached the island of Samothracia. By the second night, the Macedonian seaport of Neapolis.
Are we going to preach here?
I'm impressed that we should go to Philippi, which is the chief city of this part of Macedonia and a colony of Rome.
Where are we going to stay, Paul, sir?
I'm glad you're along, Timothy. You ask good questions.
To answer the question, I don't know. I know only that the Lord will direct us in one way or another to where we should stay. In the meantime, we'll walk about the city with our eyes and ears open, looking for an opportunity to tell the glad news of a risen Savior.
While we walk, will you please explain more scripture to me, Paul, sir?
Today is the Sabbath, and we still have found no one to preach to.
There's not even a synagogue where we ourselves can worship. Certainly, there are a few Israelites in this town. Where do they worship?
At some quiet spot along the river. Shall we see if we can find it? If not, we can worship by ourselves.
There are a few women. They're reading scripture. They see us.
Yeah, we'll approach. Perhaps these women will be our first audience. Pardon, but we noticed you women were reading scripture.
Yes, sir.
Israelite scripture?
We are Israelites.
I am too. And these three men are my friends. Though not exactly Israelites, they do read and understand our scripture. Fact is, we're preachers, except young Timothy, and he's in training.
Won't you sit down? Perhaps one of you will give a little talk.
Well, thank you, we will. Paul does most of the preaching, so we'll ask him to speak.
With the aid of heaven, I shall talk about the Messiah. You probably realize that every true Israelite mother has hoped and prayed that her son would be the Messiah?
Yes, even I have hoped that.
The Messiah, the Son of God, has come.
Who? When? Where?
He was born in Nazareth. For 30 years, he lived at home, an obedient and loving child and a young man. During that time, he spent many hours alone in the quietness of nature, meditating, studying, praying. He started his ministry by being baptized by John, the man of the wilderness who had foretold the coming of... As these 11 men, whom Jesus had a special love for, stood there, Jesus slowly ascended into the air and was taken to heaven, there to be at the right hand of his Father as our advocate and high priest. If we have faith, confess our sins, and ask God in the name of Jesus to forgive those sins, they will be forgiven. Thus are we saved.
What a wonderful, wonderful Savior he must be.
Oh, I myself have seen him face to face. Not when he was living here on earth, but after he had ascended into heaven. He appeared unto me, told me who he was, and that he had a special work for me to do. I believed, confessed my sins, accepted him, and now belong body, mind, and spirit to him.
How do we know you speak the truth?
Before accepting Jesus as my Savior, I had been educated by the best teachers humans have to offer. After I had seen Jesus in his heavenly glory, I was taught the truths of the gospel directly by God, and I dare not tell anything but truth. I look to God for direct guidance.
I believe. I have faith. I confess my sins, and I want to become a member of the family of God.
Your faith has already made you one of God's children, but you will need to be baptized.
My family, I want them to believe, too. Oh, will you please make my home your home and tell them the story of salvation?
Her household received the truth gladly, and they were all baptized.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye. Bum.
Do you know what one of my favorite parts about the Bible is? The stories. I remember one story about a big giant and a little boy named David. Feel free to sing along with us as we sing about only a boy named David.
Only a boy named David, only a little sling.
Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing.
Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook.
Only a boy named David, but five little stones he took.
And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round.
And round 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 and round.
And one little stone went up in the air,
and the giant came tumbling down.
And the giant came tumbling down.
And the giant came tumbling down, came tumbling down.
Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a little brook. Only a boy named David,
but five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air,
and the giant came tumbling.
And the giant came tumbling.
And the giant came tumbling.
And the giant came tumbling, 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 tumbling.
Hey, Hannah, you about ready for bed?
Mom, I'm mad.
At whom?
God. Do you think he minds?
He's probably used to it. What's the problem?
The fall festival banquet at school is just 2 days away, and I'm catching a cold. I know I am because my head hurts and my throat feels like I swallowed sandpaper.
Oh, dear. Let me make you some warm herbal tea.
Mom, I prayed and asked God to help me not be sick this year like I was last year. But did he hear me? No.
Wait a minute. Didn't you go to school without your jacket yesterday?
I hate my jacket. Nobody wears that style anymore.
And didn't I see you eating ice cream and cake two nights in a row before you went to bed?
Mom, I'm a growing girl. I need nourishment.
And didn't I remind you to wash your hands after we came back from shopping on Monday?
Hey, I hadn't been playing in the dirt.
No, but you had been pushing a shopping cart where I told you flu viruses love to wait for their next victim.
So God isn't powerful enough to protect me from cold winds, ice cream, and shopping carts?
He sure is. He's also loving enough not to interfere when we do dumb things that make us sick. He gives us freedom, but he doesn't reward us when we choose to do what we know can do us harm. Prayer is a two-way street. We have to do our part.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I didn't do my part.
Well, I'm going to do mine. You just lay back and I'll bring you some tea. And you might want to thank God for allowing you the freedom to learn from your mistakes.
Thanks, Mom.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Do you like visiting museums? Have you ever been in a museum of children's art? What if your museum were showing a collection of paintings of children and one of the pieces was mysteriously missing? That's what happens to Sammy and Ginny in this new Shoebox Kids mystery. Along the way, Sammy learns that helping others is part of what it means to be a Christian. Chapter 6, Secret Service.
Sammy looked across the street at the large tree in the yard. He scratched his head. He thought he had seen someone there. "Hey, Sammy, get busy," Chris yelled from across the lawn. Sammy turned back to his work and soon had a large pile of leaves in front of him. With all of them working, it didn't take long to rake the thousands of leaves into several large piles. Willie, Mr. Teller, Chris, Dee Dee, and Sammy filled a dozen large bags with the leaves. Then the kids carried them to the back of the pickup and tossed them in. "Where are you taking these leaves, Mr. Teller?" Sammy asked. "Willie's grandfather has a mulch pile that he uses to fertilize his garden each spring," Mr. Teller explained. "Some leaves have too much acid to make good mulch, but these will do just fine." Sammy looked up to the porch and caught himself. He hardly recognized it. Not only had Maria, Jenny, and Mrs. Wallace cleaned all the windows, they had swept the front porch floor and cleaned all the cobwebs off the beams above the porch. "That looks fantastic," Sammy said. "Mrs. Sheckley won't know it's her house." "Yeah," Jenny said, looking up and taking a deep breath. "I just wish we could repair the hole in the porch that I made here the other day." "Hey, guys, I think they're coming," shouted Willie, whose wheelchair sat on the sidewalk. He stared down the long street. Mr. Teller loaded the last bag into the pickup. "Good timing, kids. We're just finished. Let's quickly put the tools in the van. Then Mrs. Wallace and I will move the van and truck." "You kids can go hide in the bushes over there and see what happens," Mrs. Wallace said as she picked up her cleaning supplies and threw them into the back of the pickup. Half a minute later, the van and pickup zoomed away, and the shoebox kids were safely hidden behind some bushes across the street. Willie had to duck down in his wheelchair to be hidden and yet be able to see. "There they are," Jenny whispered loudly. A blue station wagon pulled into Mrs. Sheckley's driveway and stopped. Mrs. Sheckley got out slowly from the passenger side. Jenny noticed that the neighbor who had driven Mrs. Sheckley was grinning as she got out of the car. "She doesn't even notice," Sammy said as Mrs. Sheckley walked across the lawn and onto the porch. "We have to remember that she can't see very well," Jenny whispered back. "She'll see it eventually." As if in response to Jenny's comment, Mrs. Sheckley stopped at the top of the stairs, almost as if she had forgotten something. She looked around at the clean windows and the swept floor and ceiling. Then she turned and looked at the yard. The shoebox kids began to giggle when they saw her looking around. "Shh," Jenny urged them, but the giggling grew louder. "I can almost hear her," Sammy said. "She's asking herself, is this my house?" "This is great," Chris added. "Better than a practical joke." "Yeah, better, because everybody wins," added Willie. Sammy smiled and looked around at his friends, who were smiling too. Then he noticed that Dee Dee wasn't smiling. She looked next door at the large tree where Sammy had looked earlier. A tall, thin man stood in the shadows of the overgrown tree, staring at Mrs. Sheckley's house. "That's the same man I saw coming out of the rose bush in her backyard," Dee Dee said. "Who is he?" Chris asked. "I don't know," Sammy said, "but I have a feeling we're going to find out sooner or later." The leaf-raking adventure was all the shoebox kids could talk about when they got together at church that weekend. After the lesson, Mrs. Shue gave them time to share their story. "That was so great," Chris said. "We've got to do it again." "Yeah, maybe we could do the backyard next time," Willie added. "Of course, we'd need machetes and a jungle guide." "And a big game hunter to look for snakes and tigers," added Sammy. "I'm not going back there again," Dee Dee said. "Not as long as that man is running around loose." "What man?" asked Mrs. Shue. Dee Dee told her of the man she had seen coming out of the rose bush in Mrs. Sheckley's backyard, and of seeing him again beneath the tree across the street. "I think that's the same man I saw at the art museum," said Sammy. "Well, I think the police need to know that he's been hanging around," Mrs. Shue said. "I'll ask them to keep an eye out for him." Jenny waited for Sammy in the hallway after the others had left. "Who do you think that man is?" Jenny asked. "Obviously someone who knows Mrs. Sheckley," Sammy said. "If he's any danger to Mrs. Sheckley, then we need to do something," Jenny said. "Mrs. Shue is telling the police," Sammy said, "but I want to know who he is." Jenny took a deep breath. "I feel bad that we left that hole in her front porch. How about you and me going over there and fixing it tomorrow?" Sammy thought for a minute, then nodded. "I can bring my grandfather's hammer and nails. We might not be able to patch it like a real carpenter would, but we can keep other people from falling in the hole, too." Jenny and Sammy got permission to go over early the next morning and try and patch the hole Jenny had left in the boards. Sammy took several short boards with him, as well as a hammer and nails. The two of them crept onto the front porch as quietly as they could. Jenny carried the hammer and nails while Sammy balanced the boards. She watched as Sammy held one board against the hole, then another.
All the time, he was mumbling to himself. "What are you mumbling?" Jenny whispered. "Grandfather wouldn't let me use his power saw, so I had to collect a bunch of boards and hope that one of them fits the hole you left here." Sammy pulled off a loose piece of flooring that stuck out at an angle. Jenny didn't like the way Sammy had said that. "It wasn't my fault that I fell through the floor here," Jenny hissed. "Anyway, you didn't help things any." "Well, you told me." Sammy paused in mid-sentence as he found a board that fit the hole in the floor almost perfectly. "Got it." "Shh," Jenny whispered. "We don't want to wake Mrs. Sheckley up. By the way, how are you going to nail that board down without waking Mrs. Sheckley up?" "Remember, she's hard of hearing," Sammy said. "I have trouble seeing." Jenny and Sammy heard a familiar voice behind them. "I have ears like a bat."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 5, The Broken Dozen Mystery, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.